2 Chronicles chapter 26. Here's my question for you tonight, for you to ponder. Are you seeking God? Are you really seeking God? Chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles is the story of Uzziah becoming king. The first part of the chapter, it describes the fact that he is 16 years old when he is appointed to be king after his father, Amaziah, dies. He becomes the king at 16 years old. His name means strength of Jehovah. Strength of Jehovah. And that really was, his name was a wonderful depiction of what went on, for sure, in the earlier part of his life. He was just especially empowered to do a work that he did. And Uzziah became king when he was 16 years old, and the first thing that he did as king, it says in verse 2, that he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. After his father died, whenever he became king at 16 years old, if you can imagine this, he had such wisdom and knowledge and ability that the first thing that he did, this Eloth was a port city that was a strategic city to not only for merchandise to come in and out, but also for safety. That port being secured and protected. And at 16 years old, he had enough insight and understanding to know that that was the first thing that he needed to do. He needed to secure Eloth. That's what he did. You'll see as you read through this chapter, and we won't read it all, but when we read here, verse 3, it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now that's really the key verse right there. That God blessed him, God prospered him. As long as he trusted God, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Amen. Now, when you read through, it's a pretty amazing story of all of his accomplishments. When you read through all of this chapter, as I mentioned, the first thing that he did was he secured that port city, and then he was blessed to have someone, a prophet of God, who was no doubt his tutor and mentor, who taught him. It says that he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. And so as long as this man's influence was in his life, he sought God. So apparently this prophet of God, who had visions and understanding of the visions of God, understanding of the things of the Lord, he no doubt had a great impact upon this young king, and may have been his tutor from the time he was a small child. We really don't know, but he was a big influencer, probably the primary influencer in this young man's life, and he taught him to seek God. He taught him the importance of walking with the Lord and having a relationship with the Lord. And that was the question that came to my mind this morning in the early hours. Are you really seeking the Lord? Are you really seeking God? And the Bible says that this young man had been taught to do so, that he literally was seeking God, and God in turn then blessed him, strengthened him. And I marked some of the places in my Bible. In verse 7 it says, and God helped him against the Philistines. And then it lists all these other enemies. And then in verse 8, the last part of the verse, it says, "For he strengthened himself exceedingly." As he sought God, God allowed him to be strengthened and gave to him a supernatural ability that no doubt was not naturally his ability, but it came to him because of his confidence and his trust in the Lord. Just to remind you that his name meant the strength of Jehovah. If it had not been for God, this young king probably would have made a big failure in the earlier part of his life. But as long as he sought the Lord, God blessed him. God strengthened him. And when you read through all the amazing things that he accomplished, God was with him as he would go out in wars, in battles. He had such a coordinated military strategy and army was made up of 2,600 generals and mighty men. And then he had 300,000 soldiers, no doubt infantry type soldiers. And then it says, and 7,500 that made war with mighty power. So I don't know, I just thought those were kind of like special forces, specially trained men, 7,500 who fought with great power and made war with great power. And this was a military accomplishment that you won't read about at all in Israel's history. It's just incredible the things that Uzziah was able to do. And then he built all of these towers and these walls. He fortified the borders and the cities in a way that they had never been protected before. And then there were all different types of instruments of war that were created and even invented. These machines of war, it says, that were invented by cunning men to be on the towers and on the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. And so the last part of verse 15 said, his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. It was such amazing accomplishments that he made in militarily strengthening and fortifying cities and the borders. He made such accomplishments. And you can read also there where it talks about how many cattle he had and how that he loved husbandry. He loved vineyards and the growing of all types of different things. I mean, every way that he turned, God was blessing him and prospering him. And it was all, the key to it all was that he had been taught by this prophet to seek God. He had been taught by this man to seek the Lord. And so that was as I woke early this morning, and I believe the Lord just dropping this in my own heart. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you really, really seeking the Lord the way that you should? And where is God really fitting into your life? Where does he fit into your schedule? Where does he fit into your thinking, into your plans? Where is God in it all? And God wants to be number one. God wants to be the priority of our lives. And if you want God to touch your life, to use you, to bless you, to provide for you, then we need to call upon the Lord. And we need to seek the face of God. Seek the face of God individually. As a church, we need to seek the Lord. Ask yourself, are you really seeking God? Are you really taking the time to seek after the Lord? Some would say, well, why would we have to seek God? The Bible says he's everywhere present, and he's always with us, an ever-present help in the time of need. Why do we need to seek God if he's all around us and he's always with us? The reason it's not God's fault, but we live in a fallen world, and we live in a wicked world, and we're still in this flesh, and we have the tendency to become proud and self-sufficient and think we can make it without God. Yes, we do. That's what happened to this great king. who in the earlier part of his reign, he was strong, he was successful, he was prosperous, he was blessed of the Lord in every area. He just had the hand of the Lord upon him. And it was all, the key to it all was the fact that he had learned how to seek God. He trusted God. He sought the face of the Lord. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? If God's everywhere present, and he's a present help in all of our needs, he's all around us, he's everywhere, why do we need to seek him? Well, because we get contaminated and slowed down and influenced by the things of this world. Amen. We all know what it's like. Hopefully your Bible's not in that condition. But any item that isn't attended to very long, whether it be in your house or wherever it is, it's going to accumulate dust, isn't it? And you know, if you're not seeking the Lord, even though he's always around us, if we're not in a pursuing the things of the Lord, then we just get all, our life just gets all cluttered up and all filled up with a lot of things that are not necessarily sinful things, but they are hindering us from really making God the priority of our life. Amen. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? To set your mind and your heart upon God. A conscious choice, a conscious decision to set your mind and your heart upon the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord, your God. Set your mind, your thinking, your thoughts would be upon the Lord, upon the things of the Lord. Set your heart, your affections, your desires, fix them upon the Lord as well by a conscious decision to think about the things of God and to desire, allow your affections to be set upon the things of God. Colossians 3 is a familiar verse that tells us that we are to set our affections on things that are above, not on things on this earth. If our affections and our thinking is constantly on the things of this earth, then we're going to get all bogged down and all influenced and affected by the world that we live in, because our carnal nature is going to get the upper hand, and we are not going to be a person who's truly seeking after God. So to seek the Lord is to set your mind and your heart upon God, your thinking and your affections upon the things of the Lord. Amen. And really, it just means that you can't allow your mind and your affections to just be coasting along. You have to make conscious decisions. I'm going to set my affection upon the things of God. I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study it and meditate on the Word of the Lord. I'm going to cause my thoughts, my mind, to be on the Lord, on the things of God. And you know, there's nothing that is like a healing, soothing salve to a wounded spirit or a troubled heart like the Word of God. Amen. Amen. No matter what your trouble is, no matter what your burden is, if you will spend some time fixing your mind upon the Lord, there's so many things that are grabbing the attention of our mind and our thoughts, and so you have to consciously and determined, with a determination, I'm going to study and read the Bible. I'm going to affect my thoughts by a conscious choice. I'm going to think on the things of God. Amen. I'm going to set my affections and my thoughts upon the things of the Lord. If you're just kind of mentally coasting along, then it's always going to move toward the carnal and the fleshly and the things that you, whatever's the pressing thing at the moment. You have to make a decision, and it's always, you know, kind of going upstream. It's not an easy thing to do. You have to just make up your mind. I need to go do this. I'm busy. I've got this activity. I've got all these things. And so you have to consciously determine, I'm going to fix my mind and my heart upon the things of the Lord. Amen. Some of the verses that I read today have brought conviction to my own heart. Maybe they will to you as well. How are we to seek the Lord? Well, Jeremiah says, with our whole heart. Our whole heart. That's where I had to really say, Lord, that's not me. That's not me. I pray and I read your word, but I'm really convicted because the word of God says that my whole heart, that I need to seek God with my whole heart. Are you doing that? I would venture to say most of us are not. We're not really giving our whole heart. But notice what Jeremiah says, that this is in the context of Jeremiah prophesying to those and preaching to those who are in captivity. Jeremiah 29 and 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That really gives much more of a meaning to that. That's a verse we love to read and hear quoted. I know the thoughts that I'm thinking toward you, that God, you're in the mind of God. His thoughts are toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's the verses that just convicted me today. Lord, forgive me, because I seek you. But Lord, it's just a part of me. It's a part of my heart. I'm not really seeking you with my whole heart. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to give you and to seek you with my whole heart. Because the Bible says that you'll find me. If you'll seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. You're going to find me. You're going to be able. Now, I believe that this king, Uzziah, had been instructed and taught how to seek the Lord. And as a result of that, he sought the Lord and gave the Lord his heart. And God blessed him. God prospered him. God used him. And he with great victories and great accomplishments. And so we're to seek the Lord, our mind and our heart. And we're to seek him with all of our heart. Are you doing that? Is that what's going on in your life? You're seeking him with your whole heart. Here's another passage of scripture that also brings conviction to us tonight, and that is that we are to seek him diligently. The Bible says, Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, the promise is, I'm going to be with you. My presence is going to be with you. I'm going to be a rewarder to you. I'm going to provide what you're asking for, what you're in need of, if you will seek me with your whole heart, if you will seek me diligently. I will be a rewarder if you will seek me diligently. What is he wanting? Well, the word there, that Greek word, it means to crave. To desire with great intensity, to demand, one definition that someone gave of concerning this verse is to be up early at a task, to be busy early in your pursuit of the Lord, to seek the Lord diligently. The reason why that the scripture tells us in a number of different places that we should seek the Lord early. If you'll seek me early, you'll find me. Is because we know what happens to us. If you don't give God the first part of your day, you're going to step in to your activities, you're going to step into your daily responsibility, and you're going to get caught up in all of those things, and you're not going to seek after God. And so you have to determine, I'm going to do this before everything else, before I get all caught up in my day. Proverbs 8 and 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. Are you seeking the Lord? As I went through a number of these verses of Scripture today, I had to confess it and admit, Lord, sometimes it's not my whole heart. Sometimes it's not diligently. And Lord, help me. Lord, help us all to seek you. Another verse is Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. To seek the face of the Lord, that's biblical terminology. You see that many, many places in the Scripture. But to see someone face to face, it's really a description of someone that's very close, very intimate with someone face to face. To seek the face of God is to draw very, very near to the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's to admit that there's nothing more important than this. Nothing more important than drawing near unto God. And we must seek the presence of God and the face of God to get close to the Lord. And then back to that verse in Hebrews 11 and 6. We also need to seek the Lord with a great deal of faith and confidence. Amen. Now the other ones I was convicted by, but this really encouraged me. It encouraged me. And that is that he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Hallelujah. Amen. So you pray and you seek the Lord because you have full confidence and full faith that God, that's his nature, that's a part of his character. God is a rewarder. If you'll seek the Lord, he'll come through for you. If you'll seek the Lord, he'll provide for you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll heal your body. Or whatever it is that you're concerned about. And each one of us here tonight, we have varying problems and needs. But the promise of God's word is that the very character and nature of God, we must believe that he is, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder. If you're willing to seek the Lord, he'll reward you. He'll work for you. He'll bless you. What happens to us? We just get too busy. We get too busy. And a lot of times we get too busy doing good things. You know, our life gets wrapped up with good activities, important things. But you know, you really can't accomplish anything. We're like Uzziah. We're all like Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. But the Bible says that there came a day when he became strong. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And when he got strong, it just meant that he was proud and, you know, he looked around at all of his accomplishments and all that he was getting done, and he forgot about the fact that his source was God. His strength was the Lord. It was God that was giving him all the wisdom and the abilities to do what he was doing and accomplish what he was accomplishing. And he somehow got deceived into thinking that he did all of that. He's the one that did all that. And when he was lifted up, when he became strong or self-sufficient and proud, then trouble came. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Not only did he get lifted up in pride, but he thought that his decisions, his will was above the will of God. He thought it was more important than the word of God and the will of God. And so he overstepped and involved himself in something that God never intended for him to. And the judgment fell upon him. Even though there were 80 priests who stood up in opposition to him and said, no, you can't go in into the temple. You can't go in and perform the office of a priest. He said, well, I will. I'm going to go on in. I'm going to do it. And when he did, then leprosy formed in his forehead and he came under the judgment of God, and Uzziah died in shame, just like his father Amaziah, who lived and was and did righteousness until the end of his life, and then he brought idolatry into the kingdom, and his father before him lived a righteous life, and then at the end of his life failed God. Third generation failure in the latter years of his life. I certainly don't want to make that kind of a failure. I don't want to make that kind of a mistake. The key is walk humbly before God. Amen. Admit that if you have the ability or strength to do anything, it's come from God. If you have any strength, if you have any provision, whatever that you have, it has all come to you from God. Everything. It's all from God. And if you neglect to recognize that, that everything that you have and everything that He is able to accomplish in your life or even through your life, it's only because of Jesus. It's only because of His grace, only because of His wonderful provision. You see, the lack of dependence upon God makes us arrogant and proud. But when you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, He's the one that lifts you up. If you'll humble yourself, the Bible says that He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The proud has no place in the presence of God. He resists the proud. But those who humble themselves, He welcomes them. He gives grace to that person who recognizes that they are absolutely dependent upon God. And when you're dependent on the Lord, then you seek God. You recognize, Lord, I don't have the strength for this day. I can't do what You want me to do today. I don't even know the next step to take. I don't know Your plan. I don't know Your will. And so you start your day by just saying, God, today, help me and strengthen me and direct my steps and provide for me in every way. Do you know you won't breathe another breath except by the favor of God? There's not one thing that you can do in your own strength but fail, and fail miserably. But when we're dependent upon the Lord, then we can experience His grace. Psalm 10 and 4, the wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Why? The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Not only individually, but sometimes as a church, we need to recognize that as a church, we need to be a praying people. We need to be a dependent people. We need to call upon the Lord. We can do church and have church, and we've done it so long, we think we know how to do it. But all the while, there's something that God's wanting to do, and we need to express our dependence upon the Lord as a church body. Amen. That's why I want to encourage you. And I don't know how to do this except just to say, I want to strongly encourage you to, if at all possible, that you would join us here on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock to pray for Sunday service, to seek the Lord. And if you can't get here to this building, would you at home, would you go into your bedroom, or would you set aside that time to join with others? Usually on Wednesday night, there's three of us, four of us, maybe five of us that are here to pray on Saturday evening. And it's just intended to be a corporate time of prayer for the body, to pray together, to seek the Lord together for Sunday. Amen. And if you can't, if it's impossible for you to be here on Saturday evening, find a time, find a place on Saturday evening to call upon the Lord. Amen. Call upon the Lord for Sunday. Amen. We really need to do this. We really need to seek God. We really are desperately in need of a revival, an outpouring of God's Spirit. Let's express our dependence upon God by seeking after God with our whole heart. Let's seek after the Lord diligently. Let's seek after the Lord and express our absolute dependence upon Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Lord, I thank You for Your word and for the way that You've spoken to us and dealt with me today personally through Your word. And I'm grateful, Lord, that You care about us. And Lord, You know how to provide for us. and all of our needs. And I ask, Lord, that you will cause us as a group here, as a congregation, Lord, to make conscious decisions, Lord, to fix our thinking and our affections upon you, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to make that decision to truly seek the Lord with our whole heart. Oh, God. Oh, God. Forgive us, Lord, because we've been self-sufficient. Forgive us, Lord, because we're proud and we're lifted up and we think we know how and we feel like that we have the answers. Forgive us, Lord, because we allow our own flesh, Lord, to hinder us, Lord, from seeking your face. God, I pray that you'd stir us. Stir us tonight. Deal with us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to see that the need is so desperate. The need for revival is so, so desperate. And Lord, we need to call upon you. We need to call upon your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Now, do you have needs? Do you have concerns, burdens? Amen. I would say there's not a person here that you don't have some things that are very pressing in your own life. You need God to move for you. Amen. As a body, as a church, we need God to move for us collectively, an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I really, with all my heart, I really believe that we're moving into a season where we have an opportunity, but if we don't take hold of it, we won't realize, we won't experience what God wants to do for us as a group, as a body. So let's seek the Lord. Amen. Let's seek the Lord and pray. Before your day gets started, just get up a little bit earlier and find you a little quiet spot and get with God and get with the Word of God. And just remind the Lord, Lord, I'm nothing and I can't do this. And this day is too big for me. Help me, strengthen me, empower me. He will. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll come through for you. And he'll come through for all of us if we'll put our heart and our mind into seeking God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.